Hello friends, in this section I am going to discuss about the prevention of industrial disputes and their settlement. So when I'm talking about industrial disputes, what I mean is the various kind of conflicts, disputes and strikes happening within the industrial environment. All such kind of disruptions, I would say, they impact the economy of country. And that is why it is very important that all parties should work toward understanding the root cause of such kind of conflicts, disputes and strikes, and work amicably to sort of resolve them. And as a matter of fact, prevent them to happen in the first place. So let me sort of go deeper in the subject. Industrial disputes are broadly categorized into interest disputes and rights disputes. Interest disputes relate to the establishment or modification of the existing terms and conditions of employment, which constitute the rights and obligations of the contracting parties, that is the worker and the employees. Most interest disputes relate to the determination or revision of existing wage levels or matters related to them. Rights disputes, on the other hand, right disputes relate to the application or interpretation of existing clauses in an employment contract, the collective bargaining agreement, and so on. So most rights disputes usually relate to termination of the workers' services by the employer. I hope you appreciate the difference here. Interest disputes are usually settled through negotiations, failing which it involves threatening of industrial action in the form of strikes and lockouts. Right disputes, on the other hand, are usually settled by the labor courts or arbitrators. In India, both conciliation and adjudication services are available for both types of disputes. Okay, labor dispute prevention and resolution. So let us discuss about this topic. Direct negotiation between the social partners is the best means for resolving labor disputes. However, when the collective bargaining process is reaching a breaking point, it tends to give rise to industrial actions. So as we discussed in this slide, that it is always better to resolve the issues sitting together, discussing the matter and arriving together at a mutually sort of beneficial situations, okay, which is win-win, and where nobody kind of feels that I lost because I had lower hand, so to speak. Labor administration also assists employers and employees in both unionized and non-unionized sectors to resolve trade or employment and salary disputes amicably through conciliation, with a view to promoting harmonious labor management relations. So amicable conciliation is this very, very important aspect. Well, let us look at some of the principles concerning labor dispute resolution as stated by International Labor Organization. We'll go through some of the recommendation and some of the conventions. So recommendation number 92, concerning voluntary conciliation and arbitration, 1958, paragraph 1 and 3, if you refer, it says that government should make available voluntary conciliation machinery to assist in the prevention and settlement of industrial disputes. So mark the words here very carefully. prevention and settlement of industrial disputes. If we kind of go through the convention number 151 concerning protection of the right to organize and procedures for determining conditions of employment in the public service, 1978, Article 8, it says the disputes in the public sector should be settled through negotiation between the parties or through independent and impartial machinery, such as mediation, conciliation, and arbitration. If you go through the convention number 154 concerning the promotion of collective bargaining, 1981, Article 5, Paragraph 2E, it states bodies and procedures for the prevention and settlement for labor dispute should be designed to also promote of collective bargaining. Recommendation number 163 concerning the promotion of collective bargaining, 1981, paragraph 8, says that procedures for the settlement of labor dispute should assist the parties to find a solution to the dispute themselves. So everywhere, you know, the key theme is that resolving the dispute themselves in amicable manner. Recommendation and 92 concerning voluntary conciliation and arbitration, 1951, paragraphs 4 and 6, the parties to disputes should be encouraged to abstain from strikes and lockouts while conciliation or arbitration is in progress. So clearly, you know, there is a suggestion that the party should refrain from going for strikes and lockouts. Recommendation N92 concerning voluntary conciliation and arbitration, 1951, paragraph 5 states that agreements reached during or as a result of conciliation should be drawn up in writing and accorded the same status as agreements concluded in the usual manner. So industrial disputes are organized protest against existing terms of employment or condition of work. According to the Industrial Dispute Act 1947, an industrial dispute means any dispute or difference between employer and employer, or between employer and workmen, or between workmen and workmen, which is connected with the employment or non-employment, or terms of employment, or with the condition of labor of any person. Industrial dispute affects a large number of workers. Community have common interest. What are the methods of prevention of industrial disputes? They are listed here: model standing orders, code of discipline, works committee, labor welfare officers, collective bargaining, joint management councils, suggestion schemes, tri-party bodies, joint councils. Well, let us look at each one of them one by one. So what is model standing orders? Well, the standing orders define and regulate terms and conditions of employment and bring about uniformity in them. Code of Industrial Discipline. What is Code of Industrial Discipline? The Code of Industrial Discipline defines duties and responsibilities of employers and workers. Works Committee. Every industrial undertaking employing 100 or more workers is under an obligation to set up a Works Committee consisting equal number of representatives of employer and employees. The main purpose of such committee is to promote industrial relations. Now, Labor Welfare Officer, the Factories Act 1948 provides for the appointment of a Labor Welfare Officer in every factory employing 500 or more workers. Let us look at collective bargaining. What is collective bargaining? Collective bargaining is a process in which the representatives of the employer and the employees meet and attempt to negotiate a contract governing the employer-employee union relationships. Joint Management Council, it should look after three main areas: information sharing, consultative, and administrative areas. Now let us look at the suggestion schemes and tripartite bodies. Employees are motivated and encouraged to give suggestions on various matters, the result of which could benefit the company as well as employees. So far, the tripartite bodies concerned, so several tripartite bodies have been constituted at central, national, and state level. They play an important role in reaching agreements on various labor-related issues. Joint councils are set up for the whole unit and deals with matters relating optimum production and efficiency and the fixation of productivity norms for man and machine for the whole. So far we discussed about the various sort of, you know, mechanism through which the industrial dispute can be prevented. And if we reflect on the cross-cutting theme across the various structures, various bodies, then what is coming out very clear and loud that all these structures, all these bodies, all these processes, they are supposed to create, first of all, anticipate the concerns, the problems, the root causes of, you know, the disputes, and then work on them in amicable manner. Or if something has occurred, in that case, jointly try to resolve the matter instead of kind of letting the issues to reach the flash point and then get converted into violent situations, so to speak. Okay, moving on, the main methods of dispute resolution labor administration can set up are as follows. The main methods of dispute resolution a labor administration can set up are as follows. It goes like this. A conciliator does not suggest solution, but acts as a facilitator, helping the parties to settle their differences on their own terms. Whereas a mediator may have the authority and in some cases the duty to formulate proposals for the settlement of the dispute. So what is the difference here? The difference is that conciliator acts more as a facilitator. Okay, he would let both the parties to talk together, understand the issues, and arrive at the resolution, okay, which both of them feel that could be of mutual interest or mutual benefit. Whereas in case of mediator, a mediator, you know, operates from the place of authority, so to speak, in some cases at least. Okay. And at times would formulate the proposals for the settlement of the dispute, which both the parties should abide by. So that's the main difference. So in both the cases of conciliation or mediation, it consists of a means of helping the parties when negotiations have failed to overcome the obstacles and solve the dispute by themselves and reaching a mutually agreed settlement. So, you know, there could be two scenarios. One scenario, it may be, you know, voluntary, or the other scenario could be where it will be required to compulsorily sort of, you know, enforce the things. Voluntary, where it is undertaken by mutually chosen private third parties, and compulsory, where the parties to a labor dispute need a source of help in difficult situations. So both conciliation, which is facilitation based, and mediation, which is somewhat authority based, in both the cases there could be two situations, voluntary as well as compulsory. Okay, moving on. Arbitration, a process in which a neutral third party listens to the disputing parties, gathers information about a dispute, and then takes a decision which is binding on both the parties. So this is not like conciliation. In conciliation, the conciliator acts like a facilitator. Whereas in case of arbitration, arbitrator would listen to both the parties and then sort of, you know, give his or her decision, which will be bonding on both the parties. So that is the major sort of, you know, difference. So as mentioned here, the conciliator simply assists the parties to come to a settlement, whereas the arbitrator listens to both the parties and then gives his judgment. So one is based on facilitation skill, whereas the second one, that is arbitration, that is based on the arbitrator's past experience and his or her own judgment that what could be the sort of, you know, the best resolution in that situation for both the parties. Moving on, adjudication. Adjudication is the ultimate legal remedy for settlement of industrial dispute. So this is the ultimate last resort, you can say. So adjudication means intervention of a legal authority appointed by the government to make a settlement which is binding on both the parties. In other words, adjudication means a mandatory settlement of an industrial dispute by a labor court or a tribunal. So adjudication is again one step ahead than the arbitration. So if we quickly recap, conciliation is about facilitation. The arbitration is about somebody listening to both the parties and taking the decision based on the arbitrator's past experience and what could be in the interest of both the parties. But adjudication is beyond that. When, you know, at least one party or both the parties, they think that, you know, the matter can't be resolved just through conciliation or through arbitration or through mediation. Okay. And then they approach to the legal authority. So in this case, whatever is decided, that is binding on both the parties. So, you know, adjudication means a mandatory settlement of an industrial dispute by a labor court or a tribunal, as I said earlier. So for the purpose of adjudication, the Industrial Disputes Act provides a three-tier machinery: labor court, industrial tribunal, and national tribunal. Okay, now moving on, labor court. The appropriate government may, by notification in the official gazette, constitute one or more labor courts for adjudication of industrial disputes relating to any matters specified in the Second Schedule of Industrial Disputes Act. They are dismissal or discharge or grant of relief to workmen. It could be wrongfully dismissed. It could be illegality or otherwise of a strike or lockout. So these are the various situations. Withdrawal of any customary concession or privileges. Where an industrial dispute has been referred to as a labor court for adjudication, it shall hold its proceedings expeditiously and shall, within the period specified in the order referring such a dispute, submit its report to the appropriate government. So, carefully mark the word here, shall. Shall means, this is mandated. Okay, now moving on, what is industrial tribunal? The appropriate government may constitute one or more industrial tribunals for the adjudication of industrial disputes relating to matters such as wages, compensatory and other allowances, hours of work and rest intervals, leave with wages and holidays, bonus, profit sharing, provident fund, etc., rules of discipline, retrenchment of workmen, working shifts other than in accordance with standing orders. In the study of the industrial tribunal to hold its proceedings expeditiously and to submit its report to the appropriate government within the specified times. National tribunal, the central government may, by notification in the official gadget, constitute one or more national tribunals for the adjudication of industrial disputes. In the matters of national importance, the matters which are of a nature such that industries in more than one state are likely to be interested in or are affected by the outcome of the dispute. So, if you see, the difference between the industrial tribunal and the national tribunal is, national tribunal kind of address the matter of national importance or, the matter which are kind of interest to more than one state. In that, it is a duty of the national tribunal to hold its proceedings expeditiously and to submit its report to the central government within the stipulated time. Moving on, in this slide, we are going to discuss about the central industrial relations machinery. The organization of the chief labor commissioner, also known as central industrial relations machinery, is an apex organization in the country responsible for maintaining harmonious industrial relations, mainly in the sphere of central government. Now, let us discuss about the organization of the chief labor commissioner, what they are interested with. So, the organization of the chief labor commissioner is entrusted with the following functions: prevention and settlement of industrial disputes through conciliation and mediation, enforcement of labor laws and rules made there under in the central sphere, quasi-judicial functions, that is application of laws. Quasi-judicial authorities are entrusted with interpreting and applying the relevant laws and regulations. Verification of trade union membership and miscellaneous functions. Moving on, now let us discuss, in this slide I am going to talk about the major establishment covered under the central sphere. That includes railways, mines, banks, insurance, major ports, cantonment boards, ONGC, Indian Oil, BPCL, HPCL, FCI. Under the Industrial Employment Standing Order Act, besides the above establishment, all central public sector undertakings are covered, and under Payment of Gratuity Act, besides the above establishment, all central public sector undertakings and establishment having branches in more than one state fall in central sphere. What are the names of the enactment enforced in the central sphere? So, Industrial Disputes Act 1947, Payment of Wages Act 1936 and rules made thereunder for mines, railways, air transport services and docks and jetties in major ports, Minimum Wages Act 1948, Contract Labour, that is Regulation and Abolition Act 1970, Equal Remuneration Act 1976, Interstate Migrant Workmen Act 1979. So these are the acts I discussed. It is important to note here that, you know, the addressing the industrial dispute needs a very balanced approach for both workers as well as management. It calls for, you know, amicable conciliation, if possible, mediation, or if required, arbitration. But to the extent possible, it should be settled mutually. Thank you. Thanks a lot.